Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show, except when I ask our next guest one college basketball question, because I don't know, man, you make the Sweet 16, that's not nothing. SEC basketball conference had a very not great start to the big dance, but Tennessee's still playing. They've got to play, I believe, one of the three teams to beat UConn this year. So, I mean, there's no scrubs left in the Sweet 16, no doubt about it. Let's jump into this, and it'll be college football, but I'm going to blindside him with a hoops question. From Vol Report, it's a Rivals thing, Noah Taylor. Noah, welcome to the Chuck Oliver Show. How are you, friend?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me on, Chuck.
All right. Rick Barnes, if there is any sort of finger pointing, and I'm less than satisfied, it's round of 32, round of 64, round of 32, round of 64. How's this team going to be this year?
Yeah, they've got to feel in pretty good shape considering, you know, that Texas game, you know, was kind of a game that they would have lost, you know, certainly in the last couple years. Having the cold stretches on offense, that's what's knocked Rick Barnes out of tournaments before. But, you know, you have Dalton Kinect now. That's been a huge piece. He, you know, scored, I think, 23 the other night, kind of went off again in the second half. Texas did a pretty good job guarding him, and he still was able to kind of pull away there and help Tennessee win that. But they leaned on their defense, and that's kind of been his identity. I think if you were to ask Rick Barnes what kind of win he prefers, he'll take that kind they won the other night. And they live to fight another day, playing a really good Creighton team coming up. But, yeah, I think last year that team certainly loses in the round of 32. So they've got to feel pretty good that they're still going.
He is just a great, I mean, consistent, great, great, productive coach, man. All right, let's talk football. And let's talk Nico, because Nico's talking. And that's kind of neat. Tell us about the young quarterback who, if we saw him, it was just a teacup action in the regular season. And then he had the bowl game. And so we'll all get him, I guess, on April 13th. But what is the idea now that, like, he's the guy and it's all the reps and what we see from Nico is what we're going to be seeing on Saturdays, we hope?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It's like you said, a teacup kind of sample size from him in the regular season and kind of explodes in that you know, his first start in the Citrus Bowl against an Iowa. Say what you want about their offense, but their defense, you know, was top 10 nationally ranked. And, you know, he comes out there and does really well, you know, and three, I think four touchdowns, three of them were on the ground. And we got to talk to him, like he said, this week, and he was asked about that. And, you know, he talks about it. He goes back and watches it to critique himself, see what he could do better. I think the biggest thing you get from Nico is he's the same exact guy that backed up Joe Milton last year. And I think he likes that. I think he likes that attitude. It hasn't really, you know, taking over the starting job hasn't really changed his personality. And, again, getting to talk to him for the first time since, you know, we were in Orlando, he said that's important. And I think the guys feed off that. So you're getting the same guy. I think that's a big thing out of him. As far as what on the field, I mean, we get a small sample size again in practice, but, I mean, he looks the part. He looks even better than he did in what we got to see last year. I expect that to be even better, you know, coming up here next month in the orange and white game. But yeah, you kind of know what you're going to get out of him, and that's a good thing for Tennessee.
I had heard that everything was good with Brew, but how full speed is Brew? Is there a different jersey? Is he full contact? Is he still watching? Where is he?
Yeah, he hasn't had pads on yet or a helmet. He's got the just the jersey, and he's off to the side with a handful of other guys. Coaching staff feels pretty confident. Again, another guy you know what you're going to get from, a veteran leader in that group, expect to do really good things. there. But, yeah, he hasn't been full go yet. They had their first scrimmage today, which was closed to us. We actually just got done talking to Josh Heupel. But he's kind of been off to the side a little bit. But I think they feel good about his process right now.
All right. Lance Hurd, is he the left tackle? I thought he was going to be right tackle.
Yeah, he's taking the left side. John Campbell Jr., you know, a guy that transferred in from Miami, yep, about to play his seventh year of college football coming up here. But, yeah, he slid over to the right to make way for Lance Hurd. And, you know, Lance is a guy that obviously a five-star recruit, you know, a couple cycles ago, went to LSU initially, played a little bit there but not a ton. So he's kind of, you know, getting into the groove of things. This is obviously an offense that, you know, take some time getting used to with the tempo, especially if you're, you know, a big lineman like he is. But, you know, we talked to Glenn Ellerbe this week, the offensive line coach. Some of his teammates, he's been kind of as advertised. He's taken that in stride, done really well. That's a group. That offensive line is really, you know, in good shape right now. You know, you return a lot of veterans up front there. And then obviously adding Lance, it did cause some movement, obviously, with Campbell, but a guy that you expect kind of big things out of there. And Campbell took that in stride, too. You know, we talked to him this week, and, you know, he talked a lot about, you know, making that move. He was glad to make it, to make way for Hurd. And, yeah, that should be a really strong suit for Tennessee again this season.
Okay. I try to be positive, so we will light a candle instead of curse the darkness. There are some backup linemen getting some snaps this spring, aren't there, on the offensive line? I always say be careful when a coach starts talking about how injured the offensive line is in spring. That means he doesn't want to have a spring game. Talk about the injuries up front and maybe somebody who can take advantage of it.
Yeah, you know, you've got a few guys up there that have been nicked up. You know, this time last year, I think they're playing it safe, obviously. You know, like I just mentioned, you got a lot of veterans there.
Sure.
But, yeah, I think that they're in pretty good shape, just kind of keeping them, you know, as healthy as possible right now. They've got a kid from Colorado that was a late addition to the class that was waiting to kind of pick up his offer from an SEC school. Coaching staff feels, you know, pretty confident about where he's at right now. I think they're going to make the most of it. Dane Davis is a guy that has kind of moved all over, you know, a Tennessee kid that's from here, kind of making the most of his opportunities. They had that last year with Ollie Lane, who, you know, just bounced all over the field. He had to play a little bit of center when Cooper Mays was out. Had to play a little guard. Dane Davis is kind of that guy right now for Tennessee. I think they're still in good shape there. But, yeah, this spring has been a really good opportunity for the guys like that to make the most of it.
All right, see, this shows our bias. Like, the offense is going to work. It's Heupel. I think it's Nico. It's going to work, but it's fun to talk about. Defense is the question. I have posed a question. Heath and I have talked about this. I was like, Tennessee's good enough to get to the playoffs. I was like, here's what happens, though. There's a fourth quarter where somebody decides to do what Bama did, for instance, and say, you're not getting the ball back. We're going physical up on you and ground and pound and run out the clock and whatever. When they have to be big and tough and burly on defense in a fourth quarter against a playoff caliber opponent, can they do that and survive and win?
I think they can up front. That defensive line, like the offensive line, returns a lot of veterans. Obviously, got James Pierce there on the edge. You know, there's a lot you could say about him. Getting a lot of offseason hype for what he was able to do, especially late in the year. That interior, Amari Thomas has been there a long time. Bryson Eason, hearing a lot of good things about him this spring, and another veteran that's been here a while. Omar Norman Lott, you know, came in from Arizona State, a transfer last year. I think, and you know, you look at the numbers, Tennessee's been really good at stopping the run in the last couple years, and I think it starts with Rodney Gardner's unit. They're really good up front. You know, linebackers, you got some veterans with Keenan Peely back, had some injuries last year. I think as far as the starters go, you're in good shape there. A lot of it's building depth, which ideally is what you want to do here in the spring. Making stops, though, is going to have to come down to the secondary, you know, for this Tennessee team. That's kind of been – you look at the numbers, there's been improvement each year that Tim Banks has been here and Willie Martinez. You've seen improvement there, but it's still a big question mark. You lost a lot of guys to the transfer portal. Some guys ran out of eligibility. I wouldn't say that they were massive losses, but, you know, ideally you want to have the bodies there. They're able to, you know, play some freshmen late last year because of injuries. Ricky Gibson's a guy that got the start in the Citrus Bowl. I think he'll start at corner. you know, Jermod McCoy, a transfer from Oregon State, could come in and start at corner as well. And then, you know, safety, they added some depth there as well. But I think it's just going to come down to having the bodies. I think you can rely on your starters, but you're right. You know, you go back to that Alabama game, there's been a lot of examples of this Tennessee defense not being able to come up with stops in big moments.
All right, I'm just going to say it. I heard Martinez might got whacked at the end of last season. Was there a chance that somebody kind of had to pay? Because it's been big play, big play, big play, big play they give up. But you just mentioned, no, he's done a good job kind of rounding folks into shape.
Yeah, you know, we had heard that as well. Yeah, but then he gets the contract extension. I think that this coaching staff is very close-knit. You know, you don't see a lot of guys leave. And when they do, you see a lot of internal hires. Now, they're obviously this year they went with two outside hires for linebacker and running back. But I think Josh Heupel is really close with these guys. And I think that, you know, something maybe had to be done there because you would like to see some more consistency out of that group. But I think he's, you know, at least safe enough now to where they can look at the improvements and feel pretty good about, you know, maybe going into year four here. But they've got a lot of young guys to work with this year, too.
No, I do not speak casually about others' employment. I'm just relaying a rumor. So got a question for you about the head coach now, Josh Heupel. Has he had a frustrated, come on, guys, moment regarding Nico? I saw Nico, he has one start. He's the sixth most likely player to win the Heisman, according to Vegas. Has Heupel had a sort of, come on, guys, this is a little bit much?
You know, not really to this point. You know, he does get asked about him a lot. We've got, today was the second time we've gotten him in the spring. But, you know, they'll give you kind of the cliche that they're not buying into any of that or paying attention to any of it. You know, Nico was asked that the other day about, what was that hype like? You know, you couldn't really go anywhere on social media without hearing about your Citrus Bowl performance. Said he's kind of tuned it out. There hasn't really been that moment yet where he's kind of tried to tamper the hype, or Josh Heupel hasn't, which is kind of surprising because, like you said, there's a lot of it out there concerning him, a lot of expectations kind of thrown on him. But I think that, you know, the offense took a step back last year with Joe Milton, and people pretty much have bought into the fact that this, I think you mentioned it earlier, that this offense is going to definitely improve and maybe a little bit more closer to that 2022 version.
Oh, yeah.
He hasn't fanned the flames yet on that.
All right, I'm going to let you run, but we got to go rapid fire here. Give me 30 seconds. Is Joe Milton a Sunday guy? Is he an NFL quarterback in your estimation? It looks right.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. In just a few minutes, I'm going to walk over for Pro Day and you know, get a kind of our first look at him. Obviously, he did go to the combine. I think with the size, the arm, the look, like you just mentioned, somebody will take a chance on that. But I don't know if maybe the mindset is there. You know, there was a couple times last year. This is where Nico, I think, is an improvement. But, you know, just being able to think on the fly and come up with play, make plays on the run and things like that, I think that kind of holds Joe back a little bit. And obviously the arm strength is a spectacle, but you know, he had a couple accuracy problems still last year, improved from where he was at when he first got here from Michigan. But yeah, I think somebody's definitely going to take a chance on it, just given what he looks like physically. I don't think anybody's going to pass up on that, but I'm not too sure that he'll last in the NFL.
All right, I saw 10,000 limited attendance for the spring game. That stinks. Do Tennessee fans care? Would they have 40 or 50 otherwise? Is that a big deal?
Yeah, there were some people bummed out about that, I think, just because of the excitement coming into this season and kind of getting that first look. You got to see Nico last year, obviously, in that spring game play a lot. Obviously, people want to see that again. It kind of works out to where that's a big weekend. Tennessee baseball, which is, you know, ranked number 5 right now in the country, plays LSU here. That's become a little bit of a baseball rivalry here over the last couple of years. So I think that kind of helps, and they'll have some outdoor activities for them to watch on a big screen. But, yeah, people are a little bit upset with that decision making there.
Last thing for you, you can run. Have they cut a ribbon or turned a shovel of dirt yet? Do they even have building permits yet for the Neyland Entertainment District? That's a fantastic idea, and everybody should do it, but they're actually doing it in Knoxville. What's the status of that around the stadium?
Yeah, no, you're right. It's a good idea, something people are really excited about. You know, they're still clearing some hurdles right now. I think a couple of months ago, they cleared one where they were able to sign on with a you know, company, construction company to help build that. But as far as getting that started, I think Danny White, the athletic director, said somewhere around 2027, 2028 that they'll start getting that going. So it'll be a couple years now. But yeah, like you mentioned, a really great idea that I think will kind of change, you know, college athletics.
Oh gosh, be a license to print money. It's a fantastic visit. I appreciate you coming on, Noah. Thank you so much, man.
Yeah, Chuck, appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Noah Taylor, Vol Report, doing it big for Rivals. If you don't know, I had this idea first. And a lot of other folks have probably run across it as well. College athletics has always, I mentioned this yesterday, there was always this old school, not on my field. And it would, in the South especially, in the North, you know why I know this isn't true? I would see college football games on a Saturday played with the lacrosse line still on the field. In the South, at the high school, at the rec league level, whoever the head coach is, hey, we want to have a track meet, not on my field. We want to have a soccer game, we want it not on my field. Heath said that the Carolina Panthers of the National FL went to South Carolina. We would like to bring worldwide attention to you 8 Sundays a year for a couple of years. And South Carolina was like, not on my field. Like, what? Folks, Tennessee, the stadium was supposed to be this, like, hallowed ground that you got to enter 6 or 7 times a year. Otherwise, it just took up that, and you walked past it with reverence. Then places started hosting the Rolling Stones. And people realized, well, now, wait a minute, Tulane plays in a, they have NFL games there every Sunday, and the Rolling Stones, and Billy Graham, and everything else. Why can't, huh? And so you started having more often events on campus. Like Don Felder grew up in Gainesville. There was a guy named Don Felder, became guitarist for the Eagles. And like he had it, he's like, guys, I want us to play Florida Field. This goes back to the 70s. And so he would have like a homecoming concert. And he's like, yep, Eagles are playing. You can go see pictures of it. But it was really unusual when that kind of thing happened. The basketball arena was different. Well, because that's just a basketball arena, and especially in the South in so many places. And you're supposed to use that. We use that for graduation, for God's sakes. Football stadiums, it was different. And UT around the stadium is now doing that same thing with an entire entertainment district, hotel, and all that. So it's just a wonderful idea. We're going to take a quick break, come back, continue through Hour 2 next.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Yeah, it's a Wednesday on the Chuck Oliver Show. And we talk college football, and I say by all extension, there are times I can say, no, that's related to college football, athletics, money, TV, broadcasting. And we can kind of bring it in. We were mentioning earlier an NFL draft sort of thing, but it involves college players for this year. And Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, who might be 2 of the first 4 picks. That could happen, I guess. I don't know. They will control where they go, according to Deion and Coach Prime. And he said, you know, they don't really have the leverage they used to. And it's always been measured, folks. John Elway, way back in the day, if you don't know the story, he's like, I won't play for you. And, well, they bought it enough that they traded him his rights to Denver. Most often, you really didn't have a lot of leverage. And I had mentioned you could be an exception, and there were rare exceptions. I said, if you were good enough to win the Heisman Trophy and then good enough, like, a couple of years later to be an American League All-Star left fielder. That was Bo Jackson. If you are not aware, if you go back to September 6, 1985, Bo was preparing to play the Auburn season opener the next day against Southwest Louisiana. It went 290 yards and 4 touchdowns. September 6, 1986, he was starting in left field for the Kansas City Royals in the major leagues. Got a double. So week 1 of the 85 season, He goes for dang near 300 yards and four touchdowns. A year later, he gets his first major league hit. Extra bases, no less. In the bigs. So that was Bo Jackson. He had leverage. If you don't know the story, he thought that the Buccaneers owner had purposely cost him his last year of baseball, and he probably did. Hugh Culverhouse was just not a very nice person, by all accounts. And after he passed, I think his wife said that she wishes she could shoot him over and over, like her words, by the way. And I can't say I'm not advocating violence. I mean, she's talking about the dead body. But he probably went out of his way to cost Bo his senior year of baseball at Auburn. And Bo's like, okay, I'm not going to play for you. Tom Cousineau was an All-American linebacker at Ohio State in the late 70s, and he was a first-round draft pick, and he went and played in Canada. Rocket Ishmael, if you remember, Wayne Gretzky and John Candy and a couple of others who owned the Honus Wagner baseball card also had part ownership of a Canadian league team, and they got this kid out of Notre Dame who was a receiver sort of and a kick returner. David Overstreet was a running back out of Oklahoma. He went to Canada before he played for the Dolphins, and then he drove his Mercedes into some gas pumps. But David Overstreet, like, it was limited. If you didn't want to speak a little bit of French, you were going to take whatever offer, and unless you were good enough to make an American League All-Star team. So there were exceptions, but otherwise, like Caleb Williams said, I don't want to play in Chicago. You know what he's going to do? He's going to play in Chicago. What up, Heath?
So this one's just quick. The NCAA says that they want to work with state legislators to get out of prop bets. If you've not seen this story NBA, there's a guy in the NBA, Jonte Porter, who is a relatively minor player for the Raptors, but is being investigated because not one but two separate times, a lot of people placed bets on unders for him to make a three-pointer or make a couple of points per game or whatnot. This is not a guy who expects to have much traffic on his numbers ever to begin with. Two different times there was heavy traffic on his betting, and in both games he left in 3 or 4 minutes of the game after playing. So prop bets are much more subject to individual manipulation like that than just overall team bets. So the NCAA knows they can't get people to ban sports gambling on college, but they do say that they want the 11 states where prop bets are allowed to ban those prop bets so you don't have individual players being tempted and possibly the kind of scandal that a Porter is dealing with.
Yeah, it's beyond
tempted.
This
makes sense.
Yeah,
this makes sense.
It's beyond tempted. It's the easiest thing in the world to manipulate. Now, by the way, that's if the, quote, fix is in. We talked about the example where Kayshawn Booty was like, oh, I got that chump, and he bets the over on himself, and it affects the game as well.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers, today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open, Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All right, Chuck Oliver Show continues. Heath Klein stepping in for the King on this one, and we are joined by Chip Patterson right now. Chip Patterson from CBSSports.com, also part of the Cover 3 podcast, does as good a job as anybody anywhere when it comes to breaking down all the nuances of college football. We're lucky to have him with us here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Chip, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Hope you are.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate you joining us on the Duncan Newsmakers line today. Let's just start with where we are here. We're about midway through spring for a lot of the top programs, and obviously a few of them have wrapped up. Has there been anything from spring that you've heard so far that really just grabbed you and made you pay attention? Could be good, could be bad. Just anything in particular from spring that you said, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's like, that's interesting. For a lot of the top teams, you know that the coaches are probably not going to name the starting quarterback because they want to encourage that competition, limit transfer portal exits, so on and so forth. So the number one goal for a lot of teams is to get through spring healthy. And that's why my ears perk up a little bit when Notre Dame quarterback Riley Leonard, who I got to see a lot at Duke and think is very good, when they say that he's been shut down, going to have another procedure on that ankle, don't know the timetable for return. Arizona State is going to be making the move to the Big 12. We hear that Jaden Rashada is going to, undergo a procedure, maybe miss a little bit of time with an injury. So I think that for me, I am interested in digging into a lot of answers and questions and battles. But the thing that will jump off and make my eyes get big as news comes across my desk oftentimes is some of these significant injuries, particularly in a place like a Notre Dame, where I don't know if the depth is there for them to be able to sustain it. There are, other quarterback battles and other quarterback rooms where I think if one of the guys gets a little nicked up, I feel as though there's someone that can step in. Now, I'm not sure if I'm there with Notre Dame. So, this is kind of off the top of my head, but I will say that the Riley Leonard injury is one that I'm monitoring from these early, early weeks of spring practice.
Yeah, especially when you look at it, there's people who are making the obvious comparison. Oh, Sam Hartman, ACC quarterback, he fit in pretty smoothly. Leonard will just do the same thing. Leonard as a quarterback is not Sam Hartman. They're different styles of guys. You know this. You saw him. He's a guy that I think probably needed every practice he could get to kind of get used to that offense. It's not just going to miss the rest of spring, going to miss at least some portion of time, it looks like, into whatever workouts they're doing in the summer. And you just look at that. That definitely is the kind of thing that could put them behind. It's also interesting because it just reflects again on the idea, Chip, that Notre Dame has chosen to go this route. That does not feel like a program that should be having to grab for a quarterback every year. They should have been able to develop their own by now.
All right, so here's what I think. When you are Notre Dame, what they built their identity on is the line of scrimmage. And when you do have a group that is old and elite and big and strong and smart, I would say that that takes some pressure off of the quarterback. And then look, here's what's interesting. So their new offensive coordinator is Mike Denbrock. Mike Denbrock was just at LSU. He was at Notre Dame a long time ago before then. Brian Kelly connections, yada, yada, yada. But what did Mike Denbrock have to do? Mike Denbrock had to lead an offense at LSU with an offensive line that really was, left something to be desired. Jane Daniels racked up a lot of yards running. A lot of those yards running was because he was under duress because the offensive line couldn't hold up. Now Mike Denbrock has another quarterback that can run, but he also has an offensive line that I do think might be a little bit better. They've got some turnover from last year, losing both tackles to the NFL draft, but I think that that's what the piece of the whole Notre Dame offense that stands out to me is that with Riley Leonard, you don't have somebody of like Jaden Daniels' explosiveness, but you do have somebody who's a very gifted athlete and a very good runner. Him getting that ankle right is key to his success, though, because Riley Leonard not being mobile is not good enough to get Notre Dame to where Notre Dame wants to be. And let's be honest, that's contending for the 12-team playoff.
Chip Patterson's with us from CBSSports.com, the Cover 3 podcast here on the Chuck Oliver Show. With regards to one of the things that's come out from a news standpoint in the spring, it's not a long-term thing necessarily, but the Trevor Etienne news, and based on everything Georgia has said and Georgia's history, that means Trevor Etienne not available for at least the Clemson game you would expect. That's a pretty big deal, too. And it is just mystifying when Kirby Smart seems to have every other aspect of his program buttoned down that his players' driving habits seems to be the one thing he can't figure out how to solve.
Have they announced he's suspended for the Clemson game?
It's not announced, but he basically almost slipped up and said it the other day. And based on history, unless charges are dismissed, obviously the legal system will have its say, but unless charges are dismissed, there's really no way he plays.
Okay. I'll sit back and I'll wait. I'll wait until that press release comes out that says that he's not going to play.
Well, you won't get a press release. He just wouldn't play. You won't get the press release ever.
Yeah, we'll see about that one. That might be an internal
internal punishment type situation. But here's I think that right now what we are seeing with the Georgia Bulldogs and the string of both, incredibly tragic and disappointing accidents, and then also some of the, the speeding arrests and the traffic stops is probably like the in the same way that we're seeing a lot of a wake up call to sports gambling across all of sports as it's becoming more pervasive. We are creating a situation where a lot of these college athletes are now being provided, according to, the rules that exist right now, are being provided with, money and cars. And there's a temptation to be able to feel a little bit free with all of those things. And so this is where the education part of it just becomes so important, not just in Georgia, but all across the country, because I've heard it argued that as much of this has to do with like the way things go in terms of like a strip where you're going to get caught for speeding, and maybe this was a mistake from a newcomer who's not used to knowing where to drive and where not to drive. I'm a little bit uncertain of the exacts of the scenario. I don't want to draw any wide comparisons just on Kirby Smart's program, because I do think that this is a challenge for head coaches and programs everywhere now that there are so many more opportunities to be able to get toys. And that's really what a fast car is to an 18 to 22-year-old. It's a toy, even though it's also a very dangerous machine, a more mature adult would say. I have to be fair to the mindset of an 18 to 22-year-old, but then I also have to hold accountability to the adults in that program to try to help them with education.
Chip Patterson with us here on the Chuck Oliver Show, looking at a few of the different big stories going on. And look, like everybody else, you guys saw the content spike that Deion Sanders created in September last year. But even then, you guys were pretty honest about, hey, this is a bubble here. This is not, when you got people peddling nonsense like, could Colorado be 2019 LSU? You guys were pretty upfront. Yeah, that's insane. And now, a year later, boy, things just feel different around that program and around what people say about that program. You had Deion this week coming out and saying what he said about the idea that maybe his son would be able to dictate where he'd play and so forth. The talk about him not having made any home visits. It just feels like that program's being looked at really differently now than it was, say, 7-8 months ago.
I will say that a lot of the buzz and the fans that arrived when Colorado started the season in such thrilling fashion. I mean, there's no doubt that in terms of entertainment value, the Buffs were the team of September. And I don't want to take that away from them. The win against TCU, the manner in which it came, how excellent Travis Hunter looked in that game. Then you've got another, kind of tight one going on against Nebraska. I mean, to say that they were not worth at least talking about is, I think that they were absolutely worth talking about, and we did, but we were not, going that next step, like you mentioned, which is saying, okay, think about all the great things that this team can accomplish, because there are teams that are entertaining, and then there are teams that contend for national championships. And I think that, especially for your audience, that national championships are not always won by the most entertaining teams. I think that we are seeing right now at this stage in the calendar not the same push, because a lot of the fans who are behind the big push are fans that probably arrive for college football in September. I'm in college football 12 months of the year, but I'm not ignorant to the fact that there is a good portion of the country and of college football's audience that really only rocks with us from September to January. And I think that a lot of the Colorado push will be back at the start of next year. I think that it'll still be there because it is a spectacle to see one of the greatest athletes of my lifetime, a man who has so much charisma, leading his son, which of course brings out a lot of, father-son connection from people who are looking in on this, and leading an offense that is, explosive and can be with elite talents like Shador and like Travis Hunter. So if you say it feels differently right now, I would agree with you, but I would say I'm not going to be surprised if some of that same push ends up returning when those same fans that were doing the pushing return, and I don't think they're going to return until September.
Well, there's also one other thing that could change it, which is that 3 weeks from now, the portal opens up, and increasingly there's just a lot of people kind of wondering, okay, how wild is this going to get? You know, we're already seeing a little bit of it on the basketball side where the portal is open, and, you know, for example, a South Carolina that makes the tournament has a guy who's their point guard, starting player, the kind of player that in a typical year there'd be no reason for him to move. And the word is, yeah, Ohio State's going to be snagging him off that roster, and he's already in the portal, and that's where he's likely headed. It feels like we're going to have stuff like that happening in football, too, that guys that, not the typical, oh, it was spring, this kid doesn't think he's going to get to play, so he's going to look for somewhere where he can. It feels like you're going to have some pretty blunt, outright purchases happening around college football, among other things. So who knows? You know, maybe based on what he's done in the past, Deion Sanders suddenly has everybody talking about Colorado. But at minimum, it's just a fascinating time, Chip, because we really haven't seen it, I don't think, quite as open and blatant, because now there's no NCAA anything to hold anybody back, and everybody knows it. April 15th feels like it's going to get pretty wild.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think that the places where it's going to get really, really tricky for some teams are going to be number one at quarterback and number two at offensive line. And I think that the Caden Proctor example is a prime example of that, just because there are not good offensive linemen in the transfer portal. And I don't mean there are not good offensive linemen individually. There are good offensive linemen. But you cannot expect that you're going to be able to jump right into the transfer portal and get somebody who you can count on to go out there and start. And that's why the value of Caden Proctor, both in terms of a loss to Alabama, a gain to Iowa, and then a loss to Iowa and a gain back to Alabama, is so significant. The quarterback position as well. I think that there's a possibility that there are starting quarterback jobs for teams that will be in the top 20 of the preseason AP poll. Those teams are going through spring practice, and I think their starter might not even be on the roster right now. When it comes to like wide receiver, defensive line, some other positions like that, I do not think that the 15-day window that we have from April 15th to April 30th will be as robust as we saw for the first transfer portal window, which, again, because of the coaching changes, seemed to extend well into January, almost to February. But I do think that we're going to see we're going to see some quarterbacks that are going to be on the move, and I think that some of that will be very transactional, as you hinted at.
So Cover 3 was on CBS Sportsnet. You guys actually got to make your CBS Sportsnet TV debut yesterday. Is that going to be a new thing? We're going to be seeing the Chip Patterson face on the screen on a regular basis here?
Buddy, you got to watch more CBS Sportsnet. We got HQ Spotlight from 3 to 4:30 every single weekday. I'm on that like three times a week. But, yes, to answer your question, So CBS Sports is giving that afternoon block as a good opportunity for not just the Cover 3 podcast, but the Pick 6, Eye on College Basketball, the Early Edge. A lot of our podcasts that have really grown and developed on YouTube are now starting to filter over to the CBS Sports Network. That was Cover 3 Podcast's official debut on CBS Sports Network. We will be doing that more. We will be doing that again. And as you could imagine, it'll happen a lot more and more often once we get a little bit closer to the college football season. So if you tuned in, I appreciate you watching. But keep your eyes out. There'll be a lot more of that to come.
Yeah, they do a great job on that podcast. If you're a college football fan, definitely check it out. Cover 3, Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com as well. Chip, appreciate you making some time for us today here on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Sounds good. Y'all be well.
There you go. That's Chip Patterson. And, of course, Heath in for Chuck for this segment only. We will turn the hands of the show back over to the King on the other side. Keep it right here. You're listening to the Chuck Oliver Show.
Catch the King of College Football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Not really much. It's just I wanted to play under Lincoln Riley. And just the things that he's done, the accomplishments that he has underneath his belt, and being able to go out there and compete against the best.
Southern Cal quarterback, Justin Maiva. He hasn't actually played for him yet, but he is practicing with Lincoln Riley and all them. He was a UNLV quarterback, but then he was going to be a Georgia quarterback. And oh, that kid. Yeah, he's this big, giant kid that has played some college football at the D1 level, and now he's at USC. So, Caleb Williams out, and maybe new kid in. Who knows? I was impressed with the kid, and I can't even remember his name now. Was it, I want to say Matt Miller, but I got that wrong. Whoever the quarterback was in the bowl game that threw the six touchdowns, he knew what it was. He was like, this is game tape, man. This is a chance for me to go somewhere and then wind up on commercials and sell tea and donuts and lawn fertilizer and maybe even a private jet. Heath, how's your Wednesday?
Yeah, it's Miller Moss. He had a nice bowl game, and he might very well be the quarterback. We'll see if he can hold off. The part I loved about that clip, though, is he wants to play with Lincoln Riley. Coach was like, well, you were at Georgia for like 36 hours, so did Lincoln Riley somehow become coach there in the 48 hours? Like, he was there the whole time, I'm pretty sure, when you decided you were going to Georgia. But who knows? He probably made a good decision for him. We'll see how that winds up working out for him. By the way, just for folks confused on, wait a minute, what just happened there a second ago? Why was Heath doing the last segment? We had to tape something, and Chuck was not available at that time of day where, unfortunately, Chip Patterson's schedule. So just for the record, for the audience, I did not stage a mutiny on Chuck and, like, lock him out of the studio so I could do a whole segment with Chip Patterson.
Yeah, when I tell you every day, that's what matters to me, brought to you by ThisStuffMatters.net. Yeah, loyalty matters. Being able to complete my show, that does matter to me. But I do appreciate he stepping in there. It has been a busy day on the Duck and Newsmaker line. And as you said, Chip Patterson in there talking everything.
Yeah, I did not go howl and lock Chuck out of the pod bay doors here. Want to go to basketball for one thing here, because Chuck, fundamentally, the NCAA's problem, we just talked about 30 minutes ago, the NCAA is trying to get state legislatures to do something that probably makes sense, to say we are not going to allow prop bets. As we regulate gambling in our states, we're not going to allow the people that we allow to operate legally here to allow prop bets on individual performances in college games.
By 500 miles, it's the easiest to corrupt.
Yeah, so we don't want that to be allowed. But here's the thing that they don't get. Even with someone who is a new face replacing Mark Emmert, who himself came from the political world and should understand how to get things done politically, it doesn't matter if you've got the one guy at the head of the organization who does understand relationships and does understand how to try and say, hey, we do this for you, you do this for us, this is how we get things done. You still have so many people in this organization that don't get anything when it comes to the basics of interpersonal relationships right. Jack Golke hits 10 three-pointers against Kentucky for Oakland. Huge moment. Kid's coming off the bench. He was literally not even a Division I player 2 years ago. In the NCAA tournament, 6 million people watching, 10 three-pointers. So Oakland asks, hey, can we get that ball? Can we get the ball from the game? Because, you know, this is a lifetime memory for the kid. NCAA said, nah. You can't have the basketball. Sorry. It's our basketball. You can't have it. I mean, when there's an easy PR win, take the easy PR win. Not only do you give him the basketball, you brag about, isn't this exactly what college athletics is all about? For all the talk about big stars and NIL, here's a guy that's playing at a school most of you never even heard of. And if you had heard of Oakland, you would have assumed it was in California. And he just took down the big, bad Kentucky Wildcats. Of course, we are thrilled to give him this basketball. Instead, you got the Detroit News saying, nah, NCAA says, those balls cost money. We're not giving you one. I mean, Chuck, when the PR win is there to pick up, Just bend down and pick it up. How hard is this?
Are the NCAA going to start having security guys go out near the basket like they do near the goalpost to keep fans away to make sure? No, do not put that ladder up. Do not those nets. They cost money.
I mean, honestly, it's
amazing. You're
going
to have a couple of security guys in the circle down at the bottom.
Yeah. Also, one quick note. Just this one coming from the ranks of the NFL, and the reason I mention it is because we are getting, once again, a very clear notice as college football tries to figure out the scheduling of the playoff. There have been people who've looked at that week that the NFL says, hey, we would really like you to not play games on that Saturday.
We're giving you a chance to make the right choice.
In case you were not clear on the idea, the NFL wants every nickel, and they have no intention of giving even a space of an inch for somebody else to do it if they want that nickel. The NFL had said last year, we're not playing games on Christmas this coming year. They play the game on Christmas, but this year Christmas is on a Wednesday. It's just not feasible to play Wednesday of an NFL week. The NFL not only announced yesterday they were going to play on Christmas, they're going to play two games on Christmas.
Absolutely.
Because
everybody's off.
The NBA, if you only play one game, the NBA might get some ratings for the other game. Nope, we're going to play two games. Adam Silver, your move, buddy. I mean, if you're college, just understand. Even though you have an interconnected relationship with these folks, they will not give you an inch.
Oh, yeah, they're doing the same thing to Black Friday. That was always kind of the other sports, there was a concession day. All right, this is your day. No, but they're going to find a way how to get Major League Baseball opening day. I'll do it. The league that ate the world. Wraps it up on a Wednesday. Me, David Heath, all of y'all, we'll all be back together this time tomorrow.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.